Hi, I'm Dave from Buffalo, and I listen to the Mickey Miles podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 42 of the Mickey Miles podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from WDW Today. And with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean, who's been logging in some frequent flyer miles lately, right, Michelle?
Yes, I have been flying all over the place, but my next flight is to the Princess next week, and I'm so excited because it's my first Princess. But, Mike, I have a dilemma.
You do?
Yeah, I have sea monkeys now, and I don't know who I should leave them to take care of them. What's going to happen to my sea monkeys?
Oh, so you've got a dilemma, and that's going to drive you bananas.
Not that type of monkey. Yeah. All right. Well, I have a shout-out today, and the shout-out is to a young lady whose name is Rose Anderson, and she's going to be 14 in September. And next year, not this year, next year, she has decided to train for the Princess Half so she can run with her mom, Beth. And I just think it's so cool when kids run Disney races. So you have to be 14 to run the half marathon, and it's a great goal. So we wish you lots of luck, Rose, and we're glad that you're going to be out there running with us. We can't wait to see your bling.
Yeah, Rose, I want to commend you. That's a perfect race to run your first half marathon. If I was to pick one, that would be the one. So congratulations on a very, very good choice. We have a very distinguished guest with us today. He is the distinguished Mark Lorenzo from the Disney Parks Moms panel. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike and Michelle. How are you guys doing today?
Great. We're okay? Glad to have you here, Mark.
It's an honor to be here. Excited to talk about running and talk about the Disney Parks Moms Panel. It's actually the sixth year the Moms Panel has been running, and we have like 45 members, 19 new moms and dads, and actually there's like 14 dads on the Moms Panel. So dads definitely apply for it. The application process is, you know, rigorous and, you know, a little bit difficult to get on, but, you know, if you've been trying to get on, keep trying and just be yourself and be passionate. I mean, that's what they're looking for. And the reality is the bottom line is on the Moms Panel, we just answer guest questions with our own experiences and our own knowledge of Disney. So it's kind of unbiased, our own opinions we're allowed to share about the parks. And we have ESPN Sports Moms now, and DVC, and Cruise Line, and Run Disney, and Walt Disney World, Disneyland. So, I mean, we've been expanding throughout the years. So, pretty much, if you have any questions, pretty much we can answer them. One of us can. We don't know everything, but somebody on the panel knows.
Mark, I'm sorry, Michelle, did you have a question?
I was just going to say that it's great, and we've known Mark for before he became big time, time mom sale. But there is a Disney running mom too, right?
There is. Lori Lovell is our Run Disney mom. So, and she answers Run Disney questions too. So definitely she's a great resource if you have any questions about running, and also the Mickey Miles podcast too, which I recently started listening to as of probably the end of last year. So, and I got a chance to go to one of your meets during Marathon Weekend, which was really cool.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, we hope to have Laurie on sometime soon.
So, Mark, for those who aspire to be a Disney Parks Moms Panel dad or mom, can you give us in 30 seconds or less, or maybe 45 seconds or less, what you are required to do as a member of that distinguished group?
So we have to answer guest questions during the week, and it does involve quite a bit of time. I basically log on and answer questions every day, and so I can be consistent with it. And, you know, we're required to do a certain amount per week, and, you know, we have a contract, and we do get, if we answer questions, you know, throughout the whole year, we do get a compensation trip to Disney for four, so, which is a nice benefit. But, I mean, you do it for the love of Disney and the love of helping people out with their Disney with their vacations. So that's really the ultimate reason why I do it, you know, just to be able to help people out. And it's kind of, you know, to say it's kind of magical to actually, you know, help a guest out, especially somebody that's, you know, been there, going there for the first time. There's a lot of, it's a big place. You guys know that, especially Walt Disney World. So I basically answer questions about Walt Disney World. That's my specialty, but it's such a huge place and it can be daunting to try to plan your meals, to try to plan what parks, what days you're going to. And it's nice to get an answer from a real live person, you know, that's not a Disney-fied answer. You know, I can say my son, you know, who's 15 now, when I started taking him, he, you know, he's deathly scared of dinosaurs. He told me he'd never go on it again. You know, so I can say that kind of stuff. It might be scary to small kids, you know, so that kind of thing. And it's just for the love of it. We all love Disney, you know, and we all love the brand. And, you know, Disney puts a lot of trust in us, and, you know, we put a lot of trust in Disney.
And we're going to put a lot of trust in you today because we want you to help us answer the questions that we receive. So that's what today's show is all about. But we want to remind those who are listening that Michelle and I have several announcements that we are planning to make at the end of the show. So please stay tuned after the questions. So, Mark, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
So Mike isn't. He's pulling out the questions now. And let's see. Questions. And here we go. First question is from, luckily I'm the editor here. It's from our old buddy Sam Janow. And Sam has a question on transferring bibs for Run Disney races. And this is what Sam's question is. He says, okay, I know the race registration is non-refundable. I also know people run in other people's bibs. Some Judy has a 1.132 half marathon run by my friend Bruce. What is Disney's official and unofficial stance on people using someone else's bib? In the above case, Judy couldn't run. She picked up the bib and Bruce paid her for it and then ran the half. All right, Sam, first off, race registration is not refundable, but if you cannot make one of the Run Disney races, you can defer to a future race. I know that Michelle and I have done that. It's a little involved, but and you have to do it in a very timely manner. So even though it's non-refundable, the race registration can be deferred. Okay, guys.
Yeah, I think you have to actually do it. Is it a month before? There's a window before the race that you're going to be there, out of luck, yeah. if you're outside of that window.
It's 4 to 6 weeks, Michelle, and it depends upon the race. But yes, you're true. So I don't know. Michelle, did you do any research on this, on the official and unofficial stance?
Yeah, I did a little bit. My take on it is that I believe Disney knows that this happens, but I actually read through the whole race waiver, and I didn't see anything in there about transferring bibs. But if you look at that waiver, when you sign the waiver to get your bib, you're pretty much saying that you're in health, you're in proper health, that you are saying that Disney is not liable if anything happens. And if you sign that and then somebody else gets hurt, you know, I wonder who would be liable at that point. I just don't think it's a good idea. Having said that, I know that people unofficially will buy bibs on different boards and things like that. And even I've heard that you can buy them on eBay, but I don't think Mike or I would condone it. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I don't think I would definitely condone it. I kind of figured Disney would not, just because you're supposed to put your name and stuff on the back too, and then your name's on the front with medical information. So if you were to get injured, and let's say my name is Mark and I'm, you know, running with somebody that says Sally, you know, a bib that says Sally, you know, they might have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't know that they look that closely, but
yeah, but you know what I'm saying, because you sign that whole waiver and they know your age, and you know, so I think that there could be issues.
We're not saying it doesn't happen, but I think unofficially and officially, Disney would say, no, thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I think that I think that if the person who signs the waiver may be responsible for the other person getting hurt. So, but again, we do not condone that at all. Our second question comes from David Newell. What if he's related to another guy named Newell that I know? He's from David is from Houston, Texas. And Dave asks, has anyone ever done every Run Disney race in a year? Of course, excluding the kids' races. And we did find someone who actually did that. I believe this is something that's hopefully going to be done in 2013. We're talking about Mickey Wellman, who is running a charity event in which he plans to run all of the Run Disney races in 2013. Michelle, did you want to add to this?
Sure, yeah. Mickey is a fan of the show, and he's doing the 5K, 10-miler, all the half marathons, the full marathon, and he is trying to raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and he sent us his website, which is runningwithwishes.com. And the other thing about, I think, David Newell, who is who asked this question, I think he's planning on doing it too, or maybe this year or in the future. So if you want to maybe go on to Mickey's website, runningwithwishes.com, you can find out some more information. But yeah, do you know of anybody, Mark?
No, but I was going to say a comment of when we were at Marathon Weekend this year, there was people that have ran all the 20 marathons in Walt Disney World. And I think that is so inspiring. And because you think, 20 years ago, they were 20 years younger. Now they're 20 years older and they're still doing it. You know, there was, I think there was like 90 people. I can't remember exactly, but that's
very
pretty
cool.
Amazing.
They had their own tent there. I saw at Marathon Weekend for all the 20 years. Yeah, it's neat. I think the races are becoming more popular. I wouldn't be surprised if this becomes something that people do, but I can imagine it costs a lot of money with all those race fees and all that traveling.
That's right. That's right. Our next question comes from Donna Rostkowski Jenko from Fairfax Woods in Virginia. And Donna writes, Michelle and Mike, in a few of your past episodes, you talked about the New Balance shoes with the Run Disney logo. I asked the rep about ordering online, and she said that they had a contract with Disney that they would not sell anywhere but Run Disney events for at least a year. So no online sales unless you find someone on eBay selling theirs. And I can speak to this. Yes, the New Balance. New Balance and Run Disney had put together a deal where New Balance would design some shoes especially designed for the Run Disney events, and that if you would like to purchase those shoes, you would have to purchase them at a Run Disney event for 1 year. And I believe that it's this year alone. I think as of 2014, if those shoes are still available, you may be able to order them or purchase them somewhere other than a Run Disney event. But for 2013, those special New Balance shoes, running shoes, are available only at the expos that are at the Run Disney events.
I'd be interested to hear if Mark is getting some.
I looked at them. They're pretty cool, but I don't really wear New Balance sneakers, so I don't know. I haven't decided yet. They went like hotcakes, though.
That hasn't stopped most people who don't wear New Balance. They're getting them anyway.
I don't know. If I bought a pair, I'd probably put them in a little podium or something and just look at them. I probably wouldn't wear them because I wouldn't want them to get dirty, you know.
I think it really speaks to how popular Run Disney has become, that people would go crazy and buy all these shoes. I think
it was
really
insane at the expo. It was insane. People were flying off the shelves. Yeah. They had to order more for the second day.
That's cool. All right, are we ready for question four, Mike?
Our next question, actually, it's not a question, it's a bit of information, and it comes from Mike Paxton from Boulder, Colorado. And Mike says, hello, Mickey Miles podcast. I had a few people ask me about this while down at Marathon Weekend, so I thought I'd share this with the podcast. The question was, how do the massage tents at the Disney races work? How it works is at the end of the race, after you get your medal, but before bag check, you will see a large white tent with a sign across it for massages. For the Walt Disney World races, they usually charge $1 a minute for a sports massage, up to a maximum of 20 minutes. They normally don't accept credit cards, only cash, and it's first come, first serve. The therapists that are giving the massages usually are students of a local massage therapy school. At the Disneyland races, the setup is much the same, but at least for this year, the massages were free and lasted about 5 to 7 minutes. I highly suggest that you take advantage of this service, especially after the half, if you are running the full the next day, a la the Goofy Challenge. In addition, I usually bring between $3 to $5 to tip the therapists as well. Lastly, I'd suggest bag checking a towel so you can dry off a bit beforehand if you sweat a lot, like me. Also, I believe the Race Retreat offers the same service as well. Thanks. And Mike, thank you for that information. I know there's a lot of people who, when they are doing races at the end, they really need to have some kind of therapy going on so that they can walk home.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they had that because I, you know, as everybody knows, I do race retreat, and I didn't realize they have it for non-race retreat people. And Mike was one of the people that I ran with when I was in Colorado last week. So thank you, Mike. Mark, have you ever done the massages?
So I did at the expo on the marathon weekend. I actually got one, and it was really nice. It was before the races started, but I wanted to be a little bit looser. But then I was going to do it, the race retreat on a marathon day, but I didn't go up right away. So they were all filled up by the time I got to that position. So they're
do you have to sign up or just?
Yeah, you do. Okay. So I didn't realize that, but you have to go over there and sign up and they give you time to come back.
Oh yeah.
Like even in the race retreat 10, because it's so popular.
Right. I didn't realize that. I've never tried to do it.
And then you have to pay them a certain amount per, 15 minutes or whatever. And then usually you tip them too.
Right. Now at the expo, it's not the same group of people. Isn't it a Florida hospital?
I think it's a Florida hospital. Yeah.
I think so too.
Okay, we go from massages to taxis. And our next question comes from, and I'm going to be challenged on this one. It comes from Humberto Ruiz from San Juan, Puerto Rico. He says, hello all. First of all, congratulations on a great podcast. Just wanted to know if after the race and after parties of the Tower of Terror 10 Mile or the Wine and Dine Half, if there are taxis available. I will be staying off-site. Thanks, and keep up the great work. Well, I don't know for sure, Humberto, but because we're talking about 3:30 in the morning, my guess is that if there are some very dedicated taxi drivers, that they may very well be there. I don't know if there'll ever be enough taxis for everybody, but I do believe that you might find, and you may want to check when you do go, before you go, you may want to check with the hotel that you're staying at if there are shuttles or buses that would be available. We'll try to check on this for you. But I really can't say for sure. Michelle or Mark, do you have any ideas?
I would believe that they were. If they know there's a big event there, they're going to be out there because they want to get, the fares. There also is numbers. I don't know them off the top of my head, but there's, taxi agencies that you could call to come get a pickup if there was none there.
Yeah, you could maybe call and have them, tell them that you're going to be there at 3:30 or whatever time. But honestly, when I've gone by the buses and I see the taxi line, I haven't gone at 3:30 in the morning, but there always seems to be a line of taxis there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's always taxis at the end of special events like when they have the parties like They're Not So Scary and Mickey's Very Merry. There are always some taxis down there. And like we said, if you're a big-time taxi driver, you want to make as many fares as possible. So you should know and be aware, like Mark said, that there are events that would have people in need of taxi rides. So let's hope that's the case.
It's been my experience that they're begging you to come into their taxi. They're like fighting over, who's gonna get your fare. So,
yeah, the smart ones will be there. The ones who are kind of tired won't be there. Okay, so now we're gonna go to our next question with Liz Coffee Pratt, who says, "Hi runners, I have a question. I can either afford to do Wine and Dine or Marathon Weekend, but not both, because I'm going to Disneyland in Tower of Terror. Which one is better in your opinion? For both Marathon Weekend and Wine and Dine, I would be doing the 5K and the half. Thanks so much." All right, Michael, you're our guest, so we'll ask you first. If you had to choose between the Disneyland, let me see, she can't afford, I'm going to Disneyland. So she wants to know if she should do the Wine and Dine or she should do the Marathon Weekend trip. Which one would you suggest?
I'm more of a morning person, and so this is my first Marathon Weekend this year, and I really like the morning race. I did Tower Terror, the 10-miler, in September, and the night race just seemed to me that it's a lot of waiting around, so you don't know what to do in the daytime, you know, and you don't really have a hard time, you know, figuring out what you're going to eat and, you know, how early you should getting ready and stuff. I think we had to be there by like 7 o'clock, and then it seems like we stood around for the Tower of Terror a lot, you know, not that we didn't stand around for the marathon, but it just seems that the night races, it's a little bit more difficult. You've got to really plan for it, because a lot of people make mistake of walking around the parks and doing what they normally do and eating a big dinner, and then they feel bloated. And I know the Tower of Terror was very hot. I mean, Michelle ran it. Mike, you ran it too, right?
Yep.
And it was extremely hot, but I think the marathon actually was about that hot too. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know. I've had two hot, really hot race weekends. So I've never done the Wine and Dine, but I prefer personally the morning races.
Well, I have done both of those races, and although I like the Wine and Dine, and I like the idea that Food and Wine Festival is during that time, I'm going to vote for her to do marathon weekend, and here's my rationale. Number one, Wine and Dine 5K is, I believe it's on the same day, isn't it? As the the half marathon. So you're getting up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning to do that 5K and then starting again to run it at 10 o'clock at night. So that makes it tougher. And then my second, so if you wanted to do that during marathon weekend, it's two different days. You're getting up two different mornings. But my second reason is, and I've mentioned this before, that I just think if you're going to do one race, the marathon weekend is such a big deal. It's kind of, I think, the biggest Disney running event. It's more runners, much more at the expo. So although I like the Wine and Dine half marathon very much, that's the one that I would vote for. I would vote for you doing the marathon weekend as your second race.
Okay, so now let me chime in. First off, I'm going to agree with both of you. First off, Mark, I'm with you. I'm not a nighttime person. I prefer running during the day. So that has a lot to do with me leaning towards Walt Disney World Marathon weekend. Secondly, what Michelle said about the 5K being on the same day. So you're getting up early in the morning to run 5K, and then you're then doing a race at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, and maybe you're running till midnight for the Wine and Dine half, and then you're partying all night, and that takes a lot out of you, and it really kind of ruins any type of park touring opportunities. Whereas if you go on Walt Disney World Marathon weekend in January, you have two different days. You get a chance to relax. You get a chance to really plan. Your schedule of eating and everything is the same as hopefully it is when you're at home. So, I mean, it just has a lot to do with it. And like Michelle said, it's the granddaddy of them all in January. So I think I'm going to make it 3 for 3 that doing the Walt Disney World Half Marathon in January would be my choice. Okay, so we are moving along, and we have a question from, let me see, the question, no, it's a comment from Steve Moss. And Steve's from Lusby, Maryland. And Steve says, I want to comment back to the questioner that was doing the Royal Family 5K in February. My guess is that the question was in February. I did the stroller division with a double jogging stroller last year and went in with entirely the wrong mindset. Take it slow. Stop and take pictures. If you try to run, you will fail. I knocked over a dozen cones on the course and bumped into people constantly because the strollers start behind the last corral of walkers. Most of the strollers are not joggers at all, but just cheap umbrella strollers with slow walkers. Disney is great, though. Even though I had two girls in the stroller, and the stroller division explicitly said one medallion for the adult and one for the child, we got one for each girl. Also, if they were looking for a good way to get kids' t-shirts for the 5K, they should consider the kids' races. We did the kids' races, and both our girls got t-shirts and had a great time, even though our 18-month-old had no interest in running 100 meters. So I think that's good advice, and I think for a lot of people who are doing the 5K for the first time and doing it in a stroller division may not realize that it's basically a walk in the park. Right, Michelle?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before on the show. The 5K is not a race. They're not. It isn't timed, number one. So there's no reason that you need to knock anybody or cones over. It's really to have fun. Mark, have you ever done a 5K?
Yeah, I've done four of them. So, and I've done the Royal Family 5K, and I really like it. I like going through Epcot early in the morning, especially through World Showcase, and it's just unique. Only the runners, walkers, slash are there. And the pressure's off with the 5K, you know, you can just enjoy it.
Our next question comes from Amanda, I think it's Gonzalez from Massachusetts. And Amanda Gonzalez says, hi there. Do you know why the half marathon course was elongated this year right before the on-ramp to Epcot? This was my fourth year running this race, and this was the first time they have added this extra section. It did not seem like they shortened. It did not seem like they shortened the course in any way. Thanks from your fan. So, I didn't run the half this year, Michelle. I know you didn't. Mark, you did. Can you comment on what Amanda is saying?
I'm trying to think where she's talking about. Is it where you go on the on ramp into Epcot, or is it when you start out?
I think it's the on ramp that has the hip. I think she's talking about. I'm assuming she's talking about the ramp that ends with that hairpin turn at the bottom, and then you go over that the overpass. That's what mm-hmm. I think she means. I don't know.
Yeah, so I wasn't sure that it was elongated because that was my actually first Disney half marathon. So I'm not sure because I don't have the, you know, retrospective looking back in years past. I didn't think it was long, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's I'm not sure either, but you know, Mike is kidding because Mandy Gonzalez is one of our friends, and she actually helped us answer a question on the last question show. But no, he's kidding about not knowing her. But we haven't heard anybody say this, and I know she's mentioned it before, so we're going to put it out there for people on Facebook. If they know the answer to this question, whether or not it was elongated, if you could just let us know, we're going to look to our listeners for help with this one.
And I know that Disney, you know, basically, you know, calculates all the mileage and everything because it's an official certified race, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's a qualifier for like Boston or whatever, you know, the Boston Marathon, New York Marathon. So, I mean, they're very accurate with their distances. So
definitely.
If they added something somewhere, they had to take it away from somewhere.
Yeah. Our next question comes via Twitter, and it's from Travel Leanne. And Travel Ann asks this question. Is the time limit for Tower of Terror 10 mile at 2 hours and 40 minutes? That is correct because we're still talking about a 16 minute per mile minimum, a maximum, I guess. So you're talking 10 miles, 16 minutes, 160 minutes, which is 2 hours and 40 minutes. So that takes care of that question.
That was an easy question.
That was an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Next one comes from Peggy Sims from New York. She says, I need some advice, please. I'm running next Sunday and am very excited but nervous. I did my last long run last Sunday. It was 12.6 miles and had some serious GI troubles afterwards. I ate my usual pre-run meal, peanut butter sandwich and milk, ate my usual chews, honey stingers, at mile 5 and mile 8.5, and drank water after each chew stop. My stomach started up around mile 9 and got worse to the point I had to walk the last 2 miles home. I spent the rest of the day on the couch because of my stomach. This is the first time this has happened. The Princess Half Marathon will be my third half. Was this likely a one-time thing? Should I bring my chews but hold off eating unless I'm struggling? Any thoughts or suggestions? Very much appreciated. I don't want to end up sick next weekend. Thanks. I think I'll start off with this one, and I'll mention, Peggy, I'm assuming that, again, this is a routine that you do all the time, and if you do it all the time, then this is probably a one-time thing. My question is, what did you eat the previous 12 hours before you started your race? There might have been something that you had that maybe contributed to the problem. I would not change anything if this is just a one-time thing. I would not wait until you're struggling to have your chews. I think that it's important for everybody to constantly have some kind of a system or a schedule by which you take nutrition and hydration during the course of the race. Early on, even if you're not thirsty, even if you're not hungry because I think it will pay off in dividends down the road. Michelle?
Well, you know, I thought this was very interesting because it seems like she has a system. And Mike and I were sort of talking before about the peanut butter and jelly, peanut butter sandwich thing and the milk thing. A lot of people say don't do dairy before, but I always have a smoothie before I do a long run and it works for me. So it sounds like you have something that works. And it might have just been a one-time thing. There's always a stomach bug going around. It could have been that. It could have been, as Mike said, maybe something that you ate the night before. I don't think if it happens more than once, maybe to kind of think about your routine. But for a one-off, I'm not sure that I would change what has been working for you. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I mean, I think that it was been told. I'm sure you guys have said this again and again. Don't change anything. You practice, you know, for a reason, and you get what works for your own body, and don't change anything on race day. You know what I mean? Don't wear new shoes. Don't, you know, wear a new outfit. Don't eat anything different than you normally do. Because I had that mantra going in my head when I was doing the half and the full marathon. I'm like, I don't want to change anything. I did have some issues before the full marathon. I was glad I was in the race retreat tent because there was some, you know, porta potties available. But I mean, I didn't really change anything. And I think that's really smart. I mean, any runner that you're going to meet is going to tell you that you end up in trouble if you start changing things. And it sounds like it's a one-off thing. And like Mike said, could have been something you ate the night before. So that, I mean, that's really crucial too, is the days before your race to make sure that you're not eating anything strange or out of the ordinary. Like I actually drank a protein drink like midway through the race. So, I mean, some people say you shouldn't do that, but I mean, it works for me. So.
Yeah. And thing to remember is nothing new on race day. Nothing new on race day. Our last question comes from Travis Schroeder, who says, "Hello, Mike and Michelle. I am training to run in the Castaway Key 5K in September when I go on a Disney cruise. I am using the Jeff Galloway run, walk, run method, and I am really enjoying the training so far. I am looking to do a Run Disney half marathon in the future. I have been looking at getting the iFitness Ultimate 2 running belt for my half marathon training runs and the races. Do you guys recommend this racing belt? I am thinking of adding two hydration add-ons to the belt as well. Also, I am looking for a sport watch to wear during long runs that can keep track of my run, walk, run intervals. Do you guys have any recommendations for what sport watches I should be looking for? Thanks. I enjoy listening to the show. If my 5K training goes well, I will be training up for a half marathon in no time. Hopefully, someday, I will see both of you at a Run Disney half marathon. iFitness belts. Who has one? I have one.
I have one.
I don't.
I think you have to find the belt that works for you. I tried other belts, and iFitness works for me because it's neoprene, and it sits on my waist, and it doesn't move, and it kind of snaps with a plastic snap instead of Velcroing. I had a Velcro one before. You'll see iFitness belts. They're a sponsor of Run Disney. They have a big presence at the expo, so you'll see a lot of them. I actually, Travis, have the one that you're talking about. I have two hydration add-ons that the belt I have actually has two built in, and then I have two extra add-ons for when I do super long runs. So the running belt part of that question, I think for me, if I'm going on anything longer than a 5 or 6 mile run, I run with a running belt, and I do run at the Disney races with a running belt, except the 5Ks.
Yeah, I have two running belts. The iFitness one is the one I use for my long runs, and it's funny. Because I bought the original one, and I have added the two hydration bottles, so I have four. So for long runs, I'm pretty much a camel, but I have the four bottles just in case I need them. I really like it. It was funny because I think, Michelle, it was last year when we did the 5K, we did the half, and we did the marathon relay. I did something which I shouldn't have done, but I did it. I purchased an iFitness belt at the expo.
I egged you on for that one.
Yeah, and it was fine. I mean, I have to give them credit. It just fit very well, and it worked. It worked fine. So I definitely recommend it. Mark, what do you use for a running belt?
I use one of those pouches that like I can put my phone in and stuff like that. So I have run with a water bottle on a clip, like it's a Mickey mm-hmm. clip that, but that tends to bounce around. So I don't know if I'm totally sold on that. I may get a running belt soon.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mark, because one of the things I like about the iFitness belts is it doesn't bounce around. It really holds the bottles very well. And, it kind of stays put. So the second question he had was about a sports watch, and we've kind of talked about this on the show before. I use a Garmin. I think Mike has a Garmin as well. Some people use Polar. Some people use Nike on their iPhones. Mark, what do you use?
So I have a iPod Nano that I use the Nike Plus, and then I also use my iPhone as well with iSmooth Run and Map My Run. Sometimes they're both apps, and I typically actually carry a battery with me too, like an external battery that I can plug. So I did the marathon and the half, you know, with my iPhone plugged to that so that it wouldn't lose charge, because those apps don't work if the iPhone battery runs out.
That's true. What was the you use Map My Run, and what's the second app you use?
iSmooth Run.
I haven't heard that one.
It's pretty good. It's got some intervals. It's got a whole bunch of different things. So my friend Mary Jo Collins told me about it. So
I believe that's all the questions we have for the show. But before we sign off, Michelle, we have several announcements, and I'm going to turn it over to you to make the first one.
Sure. The first one is that I think we mentioned this before, but I wanted to mention it for a few shows. One of our show buddies, Rich Gehring, has offered to do show notes for the show, and there's actually a place for them now on our Facebook page. There's a notes section. So after each show, we're going to be posting the show notes that Rich is typing up for us with all sorts of links and things like that. So we're very, very grateful to Rich, and I think it's going to be very helpful.
That's announcement number one. Announcement number two is that we wanted to remind everybody that we will be having a Mickey Miles podcast meet at the Rose Garden in the Magic Kingdom on Friday, February 22nd, and that will be at 12 noon. So we hope to see everybody there. We'll probably be there for at least an hour. I can't say what will happen afterwards, but that'll be Friday, February 22nd, Rose Garden. And Michelle, you're for the next announcement.
And a lot of some people have said to us that they're not going to be in the Magic Kingdom that day, so they're sorry that they're going to miss us. But we will be at the Expo. We'll be walking around with Mickey Miles podcast shirts, and we're going to be at the Expo. We're planning to be there on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. And we'd love to meet you if you're around. We'll be tweeting where we are if we can get cell phone service there, and take a peek and come up and say hello.
Yeah, that reminds me. Our next announcement is kind of important, because a lot of people may not realize that the expo for this particular race weekend, it will be held at Coronado Springs. And that's because the World of Sports will be starting spring training for the Atlanta Braves. So there's a little bit of a conflict there. So the expo, the Disney's Fit for a Princess Expo, will be held at the Coronado Springs Resort. And that will be Friday, February 22nd from 8:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night. And then on Saturday, the 23rd from 8:30 in the morning to 6:30 at night. So, and if you are thinking about driving over, guess what? You can't. So you will be able to get there from, if you're staying at an event host resort, which I think they're all host resorts.
They are.
For this one, you can take a bus to go there. I think the buses are going to be traveling every 20 minutes. But if you're not staying at a Disney resort, then the instructions say to go to Downtown Disney. But, of course, you could take a bus from one of the theme parks to Coronado Springs. You could do that. So we just wanted to make mention of that. Michelle, you had another announcement?
Sure. I just wanted to ask people that we would love to see your princess pictures, any pictures before, during, or after the races, you with your bling, you in your costume. Post them on Twitter, just hashtag Mickey Miles Pod or at Mickey Miles Pod, or post them on our Facebook page. We would love to see them. And I know there are a lot of people going to run the princess, some people, like, unfortunately, Mark won't be there, and I'm sure that they would love to see what's going on during race weekend. Am I right, Mark? You'd like to see that.
Yes, and I want to wish all the runners good luck and pixie dust for the Princess Half Marathon weekend, and I'll be cheering from home.
Oh, that's great.
That's cool. Our last announcement involves advertising, and we've been, in the past, we've had inquiries about advertising, and we haven't really been ready for it, but we are ready, and if you would be interested in becoming a sponsor for the Mickey Miles podcast, please feel free to email me at mike@mickeymilespodcast.com, and we'll see what will happen. So just wanted to make that announcement, and I believe that's it. Last words, Michelle?
Oh, I'm just really excited about this race. I can't wait to do it. And I'm very, very pleased that Mark agreed to come on and answer questions with us. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Oh, you're welcome, guys. Thanks for having me on.
So for Michelle Scribner-McLean and for Disney Parks Moms Panel Dad, Mark Lorenzo, my name is Mike Scopa. We'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.